like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results match the effort.
Ah, thank you again. Welcome to another edition of the Shrimp Tank, brought to you by Business Radio X and KSU Entrepreneurship Center, where we interview the best and brightest owners in the state of Georgia about the do's and don'ts of starting, growing, and creating a successful business. The Shrimp Tank also brings you live pitches around the state of entrepreneurs trying to sink if their ideas will sink or swim in the tank. And my name is Lee Heisman. I'm here with my co-host, Chris Hanks.
How you doing, Lee?
Hey, Chris. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
It's excellent. You know, Chris is the executive director and founder of the KSU Entrepreneurship Center. Chris, there's a lot of stuff going on over there these days. Before we get into what you experienced today, one of the shockers to me last week is a new name.
Yes, we sold the name, Lee.
Fair,
we did.
Fair.
We did sell. You know, we figured out there's a way to monetize this thing, right? So yeah, absolutely. We haven't sort of made it too public yet, but we are going to be known now as the Shore Entrepreneurship Center.
And that is
Shore
not
Center for Entrepreneurship.
That is not, I'm for sure. That's S-H-O-R-R.
No, you can be for sure that it's not. It's S-H-O-R-E. Robin and Doug Shore. And Doug Shore made his money in the publishing industry and gave a gift to name the center and to support the cause of entrepreneurship. So we had such a strong inaugural year that it's definitely attracting some attention. And that's been a wonderful thing.
It's wonderful. Just like every week on this show, and we're here every Tuesday from 4 to 5. If you miss an episode, you can hear us or listen to us at www.shrimptankpodcast.com. And today's segment, and we'll bring our guests on after our first commercial break, we're going to have our hot or not section. We're going to have our plead the fifth section. So I think that our guests will be ready for that. But for the time being, we have our KSU student here. So about
a student that you're familiar with, Lee.
I'm very familiar, but I'm going to give you the reins, Chris. So for the past 6 months or so, you've been working with the KSU 100, where,
yes,
if I'm incorrect, there's 100 students that pitch their ideas.
199 are eliminated in a very grueling format where Shark Tank meets The Voice. So you've got the style of Shark Tank where people are pitching to seasoned investors and entrepreneurs, but with the mentorship of these rock star entrepreneurs who get to partner with students and advocate for the students. And actually, they participated in pitching for the students on behalf of the students during part of the competition to the judges.
What was the prize, Chris? KSU 100, it sounds very impressive, but there's got to be some prize they were shooting
for. There is a prize. So the idea was, let's start with 100 businesses from all across campus. And, you know, it's students from representing every college on the campus. And we get down to one, and the winner gets $100,000. So we start with 100, and one gets 100. So, and we actually have the winner in the studio with us.
That's
which
true.
Is totally exciting.
Let me introduce Garrett Jacobs. Garrett, welcome.
Well, thanks for having me.
Wonderful. Well, you know, Garrett, I had the privilege of being your mentor as you got down
you
to
did.
The final 10. And I worked intimately with you and Colton, and I was terribly impressed at how you guys didn't kill each other through the process.
I was a bit impressed with that too.
What were some of the biggest struggles you had through that process? I mean, this was how long, months, weeks?
So it was throughout spring semester. So essentially 3-4 months of a process. And that's one thing we're changing for next year because that was way too intense. We're going to make it more of an academic year thing. But yeah, so, and I don't find, It's surprising that we have the winner and we have mentored by Lee Heisman here.
Yeah, so it does feel like home cooking here.
Yeah, it does. It seems like it's a little set up, but
it does.
But Lee was not, you know, just to make it clear, you were not part of the judging. Neither was I.
Exactly, right.
The results are the results.
Well, that was the coolest part. You know, through this process on the outside, and Garrett, I want to know, but through this process as a mentor, I was able to watch you brought in a litany of high-end entrepreneurs to vote. You took the mentors out of the voting.
Yes.
Because we obviously would have all fought for our own person. And you brought a litany of high-end entrepreneurs to pick their final three. And then the final three not only presented at the luncheon, but that evening you presented to the board at the entire university, if
yes,
I'm incorrect.
Yes, absolutely. In an auditorium full of audience. And yeah. And Garrett did a great job. Had to pitch twice in one day and did a real good job.
What Garrett and I found, and it was quite intriguing, you know, I am all about Garrett running the show himself. I love to hand off to someone as talented as this young man. And halfway through the presentation, we were texting each other. So we're tipping our cards here now. But the other mentors got up because we had a chance to speak about our student. And I told Garrett and Colton, listen, I'm going to talk for 30 seconds. This is about you guys. You've done a great job presenting. It's a beautiful pitch, Chris. We're going to be posting on the show. You'll be able to watch it. It was under 3 minutes. And as we watched the first two presenters, the mentors got up and they were talking for 8-10 minutes going off about how much their person should win and everything we did. And Garrett and I were texting, okay, Lee, go ahead, sell us. Yeah, sell us hard, more than 30 seconds. So Garrett, I was most impressed. Not only you won, congratulations again, but the transformation that occurred with you. You spoke in front of the audience. You spoke in front of the board that voted you as the winner. And one of the things that rung true to me was the transformation you experienced through this process. If you could tell us a little more about that.
Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, going through the process of even before the semester started, I mean, this was a process that kind of was turning and churning in my mind. And I think through taking the classes, the entrepreneurship classes with Chris, and then moving through the process, working with you, focusing on the strategy and the business and what makes it work. You know, there was a big shift in the mindset. You know, most people associate the word entrepreneur with business owner. But entrepreneurship, you know, and what I've learned is more a mindset and a view on life and your relationships with people and all that. And so that was one of those things that was awesome to me, being able to see that growth happen was cool. And I definitely feel transformed a lot from where I was when we started.
Well, I saw you, you know, I've gotten a lot of news emails and newsletters from KSU, and I see you handing hand in hand with the dean of the college of Coles.
Yeah. She actually gave him a fist bump today, so I didn't know that was a thing.
Really?
She fist bumped you.
That's awesome. I don't know. I think we're on a whole nother level here.
Fair. You gotta put those in your pocket and don't lose that. Yeah. But, you know, I know today you guys presented. What was it that you did today at the school?
So today we had the entire faculty and staff of the Coles College of Business, which is one of the largest business schools in the country, and all of them in an auditorium. And we got to acknowledge Garrett and his contributions. And even though Lee was not there, we got to acknowledge Lee and talk about him because he was central to the process that, you know, Lee mentored Garrett, and Garrett ended up being the winner of, you know, KSU Top 100. 100 businesses, 99 were cut. Garrett's the only one that was not cut.
So what's quite interesting, and it's intriguing for entrepreneurs listening out there is, you know, I sit in a room of academia. I have Chris, who is the founder and executive director of the KSU Entrepreneurial Center. I have the winner of the KSU 100, and I pride myself on not being that smart and not having a big education. And I think our guest that we're going to hear from later is very similar to my mindset, very pragmatic. I've heard stories of him, and even talking with him in the green room prior, I think we very similar in that regard. So entrepreneurs out there, getting a degree is important, especially at KSU, but not getting one and using your pragmatic skills can take you very far. You know, each show, when I have the fortune of hosting, I always bring out some of my favorite quotes and some of my favorite comments from some people that I admire. Obviously, we love Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. Everybody does love Elon Musk. Your school, everybody wears Elon Musk t-shirts there pretty much, as I think about most schools. But, you know, I always pull a quote, and I want to hear your thoughts on it, Garrett. And the reason is I find this trend at Chris's Entrepreneurship Center. And what Elon talked about, and if you don't know who Elon Musk is, Elon has created Tesla. He's the owner and founder of the Tesla brand and vehicle. He also created PayPal and wrote that so he could obviously sell that business and do what he wanted to do next for the better of society. And he says something. He says, going from PayPal, I thought, what are some of the problems that are likely to affect the future of our humanity? not from the perspective, what's the best way to make money, more what can I do to affect humanity? And the more that I interact with the school at KSU, the more time that I spend over there with the students, I find that money is not the determining driving factor for at least your students, Chris, that I work intimately with. And it wasn't for Elon. Garrett, how do you feel that statement says about you and your fellow classmates?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if I've always heard if you're chasing money, that's not the end game. You know, I think that if you build something that helps people overall, good things come. I think there's a lot of problems in the world, and I think we recognize that in my generation. For us, it's about creating things that are meaningful to us, but also serve a purpose for others. And, you know, Chris talks about this whole delayed gratification, and that's what entrepreneurs embrace, is that, you know, you build something for what might come later on and serve the purpose for others. And I've seen it too. You know, all of my classmates, a lot of them embrace that idea. So that's kind of cool to hear it from someone as successful as Elon, and then it kind of filters down to our level is pretty cool.
It's very fair.
Yeah, if we all spent as much time worrying about how can I make a difference versus how can I make money, imagine the value creation there, and imagine how much more fulfilling and purpose-driven. Because, you know, money as a motivator tends to be a very short runway. When you get the difficulties of entrepreneurship, there's usually something that needs to drive you. What's going to cause me to wake up and work harder than the next guy and work longer than the next guy? And usually money is because I'm not getting it right away, I have to plant a lot of seeds before I see a harvest. So there usually has to be a bigger driver.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Well, guys, you know, I know we spent a little time on the KSU 100, yep. and I have many more quotes for our guest, and we have many more questions for him. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
In business, it's either time or money. How much money does your business lose if your network is down for a day? How much time do your employees waste trying to fix computer issues? At Savant, we have the experts that work on your network to simply make your company run more efficiently. Macs, PCs, mobile solutions, no problem. Savant's battery life never ends. Call 770-438-6240 now.
We're back at the Shrimp Tank on Business Radio X. You can hear us every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. right here. You can always replay us at shrimptankpodcast.com. I'm sitting here. My name is Lee Heisman. I'm sitting here with our co-host Chris Hanks and the winner of the KSU 100, Garrett Jacobs. And I want to introduce our guest, Chris Coleridge.
Hey, thanks for getting that right. I do appreciate that.
I worked on that one.
Good afternoon, Shrimpies. I like to brand that as if
nice.
You don't mind as well.
That's a new thing. Yeah, absolutely.
That better be on the shirts.
Hashtag that. Yeah. Hashtag Shrimpies. That right now. That's well done. So, Chris, you know, when it comes to your industry, yes. I find myself to be the most ignorant in that industry. So I'm very excited for you to be here.
Well, I appreciate
it. I have flavors and thoughts on it, but you are the resident expert. I have to admit, when we asked for a bio, I received a 15-page bio. Your history is so thorough and so unique. I loved it. I could do no justice trying to describe it. So if you could tell us how you got into being an entrepreneur, especially with the market, and exactly what you do and what Atlanta In-Home what Atlanta In-Town Real Estate Services does, help us understand.
Sure. Well, you know, I'm originally from Chicago, if you can't tell a little bit by the accent. So I moved down here in 1998, 1999. Was actually a paramedic part-time in the suburbs of Chicago, then moved down here to Atlanta to take on a full-time job as a paramedic with DeKalb County. Did that for about 3 years and got very much burnt out. I thought I was going to further my career in the medical field, but that just didn't go there. So switched over to real estate, took some classes, and was working part-time as a real estate agent, part-time as a paramedic, which is just kind of they're kind of similar if you do step back and think about it in the industry I do, which is bank owned. You know, you're dealing with some bizarre stuff all day. But yeah, so I switched over. My first year in real estate was September 11th, 2000.
Good timing.
Yeah, 9/11, basically. Wow. I sat there at some agent caravan. I don't know why I was doing it. But anyway, I just sat there and watched the Twin Towers come down. And I was just like, wow, how's this going to impact the industry? And then sure enough, those 2 years later, it did put a little spin on our industry. But then shortly thereafter, we had, of course, had the boom of 2003 through, you know, 2008. And then we all know what happened after that. It was kind of a meltdown. But I just wanted to transition into something that I could build myself into a you know, where I have, I'm my own boss, basically. I can make the money that I want to. And I know you guys say it's not about money, but sometimes when you're working on an ambulance, making very little money and working hard and lifting very heavy people, you do want to inspire to make a little bit more money than what I was. So that was a little bit of an inspiration to me. However, it's been a great career, and you know, I've been doing it for, it's hard to believe, 15 years now. And, you know, just, I do it because it's, I'm my own boss. I create my own schedule. I do what I need to do in order to survive for my family and I. And it's a career that you either have it in you or you don't. I mean,
yeah, but you know, in your industry, you know, we were just talking earlier that because the market is so hot right now with everything,
right?
And I always reference froth. It's the part of the coffee or the drink that really doesn't have a lot of substance there, right? But it, you think you have a full cup, and a quarter of it could be the froth until you sip through it, and those bubbles will eventually go away. You know, you might be underestimating yourself, but you are such a specialist in the bank-owned, in the field that you're in. Can you describe exactly the area that you find yourself to be a specialist? Because I've talked to a number of people, a number of your references, and the people that I know that know you, and you seem to have a niche.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I saw, again, I saw where the market was heading in 2007, and the same, unfortunately, the same things are kind of occurring right now, but nobody wants to call it out because it's kind of an election year, an important year, and nobody wants to let the financial burdens get into the election. But I saw it, like I said, in 2007 and 2008, and I'm just sitting at a new construction development, and the buyers kept coming in. Well, is the builder going to reduce this? I'm like, what do you mean are they going to reduce this? They normally increase the price once you start upgrading these houses. So finally, I just started reading a lot of financial ads or papers and reading what was going on Wall Street, and then really started digging into it. And I'm like, we're about to bust. So what I started doing is researching a lot of the bank-owned companies or asset management companies, started applying with them, and started to work with the banks doing BPO, which is a broker price opinion, figuring out what the house is worth for the bank so they could figure out what they should do with it. But then as you start doing more and more of those, you get a rapport with the bank, and then you get into the bank-owned industry where you actually represent the bank and helping them figure out how to fix the house, whether to fix the house, and sell it on behalf of the bank to a would-be end buyer and investor.
You know, you're one of the few people, and I know I'm completely taking control of asking Chris questions, and I apologize, but you're one of the few people I talked to, Bill Mitchell.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone you had on your reference on your personal bio.
It's amazing what you can do when you pay him. Yeah.
He said, was this the call that I was expecting? No, Bill didn't know that I was calling him. And I said, hey, what are some of the things you want to share? First thing off the top of your head about Chris. And he said, you are a problem solver. You never let the situation get any bigger than you. He talked about a home that you were taking over for the bank and how they should not turn the water or the utilities on. But this particular home, they turned the water on. There were no faucets or stops inside of the house, and it started just pouring and destroying the property. You ended up on a Friday night, if you want to finish the story.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I don't know why they turned down the road. It was, I don't want to name the city, but it was a nice city up north and nice restaurants. But anyway, they ended up turning on the water for some reason, and it flooded it, and it was going for about a day, and it caused almost $40,000 in damage in a July summer heat, which the humidity was just huge and just started automatically growing mold. So I had to troubleshoot and hope to God that I was doing the right thing, if you will, because the bank wasn't there on the weekends. Nobody's there to call and tell you what to do. So that's where it goes back to my paramedic skills. I think you problem solved. It was always like the ABCs, airway, breathing, control, you know, circulation. Well, that's kind of how it is in real estate. It's, well, buyers used to have a pulse, they can get a loan, so we can cut that out of the equation. But you do have to actually problem solve just like that in real estate in the bank-owned situation.
Hmm. So you talked about earlier some of the reasons that some of the things you liked about owning the business, right? You know, the fact that you can make money for your family and control your schedule and you're your own boss and that kind of thing. What don't you like?
It is, I will say it's a stressful business. You are, you're not on a payroll, you're 100% commission. Depending on what you're doing, there's a bunch of avenues in real estate. You can be an on-site salesperson when you're paid a commission plus a salary, but you are 100% commission. So your day-to-day events of what you do and what you make out of each day is what's going to put your money in your pocket each month. And if you are a slacker, let's face it, you're not going to make it. And the statistics used to be only about 27% of agents who start within a year are still remaining. And I would probably think it's lower than that by now, just because the market's been so rough over the last, you know, 8 years or so.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, so kind of taking a different step a little bit, but I'm looking at bringing on people, obviously, for our business. And one of the things I've been looking at is incentivizing employees and keeping people on board with the team. And how do you acquire good talent and inspire them? How do you apply that in your business?
I mean, you just can't put out an ad and expect. Nice question. You can't put out an ad.
Winner
and,
of the exactly, KSU 100 Chris.
Winner, chicken dinner. So you can't just throw out an ad on Craigslist because we know who looks on those. My thing is, you know, you got to work with someone who has the same type of personality drive, if you will, because to me, again, I'm 100% driven when it comes to I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it. So the person that I want to work, I want to be able to have that same type of attitude. So if I'm not there, they can take care of stuff. I don't have to call and follow up. Hey, did you take care of A, B, and C? It's already done. So you want to make sure that one, the people that you hire and bring on, one, know your business, you know, inside and out, you know, because and also, too, it's important for you to know your business, because if you don't know how to do the simple day-to-day tasks, well, how are you going to train the next person and expect them to live up to your expectations? So you have to know your business inside and out, then be able to attract the right people. A lot of people do these personality traits, you know, these little, you're a type A, I'm a type B. I think personally, if you meet a person within 5 minutes, you can tell if you're going to work with this person or not. You know, you ask the right questions, are they computer savvy in today's world? And, you know, if they're still on a flip phone, hey, probably not the right person. But again, I just, you know, to me, it's just, for me, it's instant. It's just instant. If I meet you and I can agree with you and you and I have the same, just, you know, that whole, I don't know, characteristics of what can make a workplace awesome and create something to get to the next level, you know it right away. And if you know it's a slacker, then just cut your losses and move on.
So Chris, let me interrupt, you know, I have a list of those Elon Musk quotes that I tend to jump on. And thank you for saying that. We didn't plan this. Let me give you number 10. Elon's quote, "My biggest mistake is probably weighing too much on someone's talent and not someone's personality. I think it matters whether someone has a good heart and how I work with them." Yeah. Exactly what you said.
Yeah. I mean, I had an old assistant who was, I mean, she went to Georgia Tech, book smart, very awesome. Not the greatest person in communication but she would get stuff done. She would do 100 people's job and just get it done without any questions asked. And you just follow up. She's like, "Oh yeah, it's done here." It's like, awesome.
So I saw you've sold over 1500 homes.
Yeah.
Is that correct? And you're working again, you work in that REO space.
Yeah. Which a lot of people, if people don't know out there, REO means bank owned. It's real estate owned is what it means. Yep. But it is a foreclosure. We also do short sales, which means you're upside down the house. You need to sell before a foreclosure does occur. So we do work with bankruptcy attorneys with their clients who are about to go into foreclosure once they get dismissed out of bankruptcy court. So my expertise really is, we call it the default industry. And that's what it's been for the last 10 years. I did do what they call retail market, which is the traditional buyers and sellers. However, just not my thing, just not my gig.
So here's, you know, I'm going to take a little bit of a leap of faith here. And a lot of the guests that we've had on the show, I know intimately and personally, and hopefully they're not listening right now, because I think you may be the most valuable guest that we've had on for the past 27 episodes. Here's the reason why.
Do you have royalties?
Of course we want to, I'm sorry?
Royalties?
Exactly. It's like Mr. Wonderful in the Shark Tank. Everything is a royalty. Here's the main reason why. Of course, we're going to ask you entrepreneurial questions because you've answered them wonderfully. The biggest thing is you have your finger, not going to, well, we don't know where this is going, right? You have your finger or your thumb directly on the pulse of the economy. Mm-hmm. You know what is bank owned, how much froth is out there. And if every entrepreneur listening right now or want to be entrepreneur, what do you see is happening? I mean, we can all make conjecture, but you're in the industry living the world of how many bank-owned profits are coming, how many things are selling. You know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think where we're going, and then, again, it's my opinion. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer at all. It's hard for me to believe that a market of, you know, 2008 through 11 can correct in 2 years. And we are just insanely overpriced again. There's no inventory out there. So everybody and their brother's bidding up the properties. Mm-hmm. So they're getting bid up to a value that just you can't sustain this. And I mean, the interest rates are at an all-time low. So that's one thing driving it. Also, too, rent rates. I mean, I'm sure you've seen rentals. I mean, they're insane. So anyone that can try to buy a house is trying to buy a house. But then you only have four fish in a barrel with 100 fishermen going after it. So, of course, everybody's going to be going after it hard, and they're going to bid that property up. And the wholesalers are back again. Remember 2 years ago, all those home improvement shows on what the heck is that channel? HGTV. They were gone. They were absolutely gone. They're all back again in full throttle. The wholesalers, what we call them, when they buy a property, they don't even buy a property. They put it under contract and assign it to you for $20,000. They're out again. All these home seminars, investor seminars are out again. So the writing is on the wall again, but nobody is talking about it because we have two parties running for a presidential election in next year.
So. And what I've always heard consistently for entrepreneurs that they're listening, growing businesses, starting them and running your businesses, this is the year, if not next year, to make hay, to make your hay, stock your hay away, because this man has his finger on the pulse of where the economy may be going.
Right. And, you know, Georgia specifically, too, we have so many hedge funds down here, institutional investors, Havenbrook, Invitation Homes, you name it, big boys on Wall Street that have been buying houses for the last 5 to 8 years. So that's also part of the issue. Not a lot of houses are coming to market because these guys are buying it directly off the courthouse steps. They're going to the banks, buying their inventory directly. So not a lot of inventory coming through the pipeline. But the what's happening is rentals are at an all-time high. I think home ownership's only at either 40% or 60%, or I got them flipped. But that's why rentals in apartments are being built everywhere, because the demand for rentals are so high because people can't get mortgages. They don't have money. They're working at Starbucks, Savage Pizza, 15 other jobs just to make ends meet after graduating school, because there's just not a strong economy right now. I mean, they say it is, but we know behind, closed doors, the books are cooked. And it's, again, it goes back to the election cycle that people don't want to think the economy is bad, because you being the candidate don't want that on your back when you're sitting there with a speech.
Oh, it's amazing information. We're going to take a quick commercial break from our biggest and best sponsor, Business Radio X. And when we come back with Chris, we're going to hit our hot or not section and our plead the fifth, where it kind of gets a little bit ugly, speaking of the economy.
Awesome.
Business Radio X interviews dozens of innovative entrepreneurs and successful leaders each week. Its mission is to help local businesses get the word out about the important work they're doing for their market, their community, and their profession. With a pro-business slant and a long-form interview format, guests don't have to worry about being ambushed or talking in sound bites. Guests have enough time to tell their whole story and to share their insights and experiences without interruptions. If you would like to feature your business on Business Radio X, please call 843-858-2277 and check out our website, Atlanta Business Radio.
Well, we're back here with Chris Kolarich and the Shrimp Tank. Again, you can listen to us every Tuesday from 4 to 5 on Business Radio X, as well as jump on any of the old episodes on shrimptankpodcast.com. We are now at our hot or not section, and this is where Chris Hank's fangs come out. This is where the questions become down and dirty, and Garrett, you'll be able to jump in and ask Chris some questions. Mm-hmm. Chris, I leave it to you.
All right, so we'll start off with hiring family members, hot or not?
No.
Never?
I mean, my grandfather always said you never do business with family and friends, and I definitely agree with that. I mean, it's just not a good idea. If something hits the fan, it makes it hard over Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner to deal with.
It's exactly. Have you made a mistake with that?
I've never. No. I mean, I've not. I've done business with any family.
Fair.
Raising capital in exchange for equity, hot or not?
Yeah. Well, I mean, our business is different than what you're doing. I mean, we're 100% commission based off a commodity. So what you're doing is kind of different. Yeah. But, if you want to buy a house, for instance, there's a number of to buy, fix and sell, and you don't have the money to do it. Of course, you're looking to capital from other people. And of course, you got to give up equity. I mean, they're bringing the money. You have the idea. You have to give up something. So if it's going to propel your career, if it's going to propel your idea, yeah, by all means, do it. I mean, because if not, then you're just sitting on the sidelines doing nothing. So it just you don't want to give up the farm, but at the same time, you want to make that next step in order to grow your business, fix up that new house or whatever it is to keep making your business move forward in a positive direction.
Gotcha. You talked about finding those right people, the personality, the characteristics. Mm-hmm. You probably take care of them with their salaries. Do you do bonuses, and is it hot or not for bonuses?
I mean, again, I had more of a staff, but I would pay her on bonuses per closing, if you would. You know, if we were doing an excellent job, I would, you know, buy them lunch, dinner. You know, you want to keep the environment to a point where they want to be there and they don't want to leave and be like, hey, that person over there is offering a little bit more. There's incentive to keep them there, because if not, if you have to bring in new staff, it means you're going to probably lose 20% of your business or 27% trying to retrain somebody, whatever it is. So definitely keep your staff, do what you got to do to keep them there. I mean, of course, if they're ethical and a great person, but do whatever you can, you know, bonuses, buy, you know, little gift cards, make employee of the week, employee of the month, and whatever you have to do to make sure that they feel good about themselves and what they're doing for you. Cause it is helping your business, but you're also helping them and their family as well.
Yeah.
All right. Hot or not, business plan.
What the heck is that? You know, that's that thing that a lot of people are supposed to do, what, October, maybe September, and you get to it about February, right? So, I mean, I'll do them. I'll look at what I did last year. And again, our business is a little probably different than some of yours. I've done a couple formal ones, but what I really do is I took what I did last year. Of course, I want to match it and beat it and exceed it. I also want to throw in some other ideas of maybe what to take on. Like right now, we are looking to get into maybe a little bit of more commercial, because once the market curves down, I want to get into that. The REO or the bank loan has slowed down because of the regulations and the lack of inventory. So you got to get creative to find something else. So I'm more of, all right, a business plan is great, but let's look quarterly, weekly, daily, what's going on and how are we adapting to the environment? Because this industry, especially real estate, I mean, look what happened to travel agents.
True. Yeah. Well, you know, and you mentioned that as well, and people might not see that. Maybe I'm wrong, but with the way the economy is flourishing right now, mm-hmm. you probably don't have a lot of bank owned.
No, no. Well, and also too, again, I mean, they're doing a lot of trading underneath the radar. Fannie, sure. Freddie, a lot of the banks are getting rid of their assets underneath the radar to other investors. So you're not seeing it come to market. So our market, yeah, we are down. I mean, we're down.
But are you waiting for if something bad happens, you explode?
I mean, I'm going to keep my bread and butter, which is the bank owned and the default asset. Sure. But yet again, I want to try to figure out what else can I add to that business, whether it would be commercial, whether it's property management, whether it's buy, fixing and selling some houses, whether it's starting my own equity firm with some money partners to, once the market does curve down, we buy these houses cheap, rent them and wait for the market to go back up and then you sell them again. So that's kind of what I'm looking into right now with another person who broke away from another hedge fund.
You're preparing yeah, exactly. for the crash. Garrett, last question on the hot or not.
Yeah, one. So marry an entrepreneur, or in my case, date an entrepreneur. I guess a follow-up would be, what your view on like prenups, or
man,
if that taints the pool.
Good questions.
Good Lord.
That was loaded.
Is this legalese or what is that the sponsor? I my wife and I don't have that. I mean, I'm not like flourishing and rolling in money. She's in banking. She actually controls the money. So I don't know. I don't even know where my money is. Honestly, if something happens to her, I'm coming to you guys. Well, you're in tech. You can probably crack it. So I don't know. I have no idea. That's almost like one of those political conversations you never want to have, as far as, you know, religion and all that into politics. I mean, if you're making money, you're both making money, I would think that you'd want something set up in a way that if something were to occur, even just take a business partner in general, occurs, you want something set up front of what the expectations are of, hey, you're going to get A, I'm getting B, but what if we have to bring in somebody? You always have to have a plan, because, you know, something does always go wrong in life. Yeah. I mean, it's not always golden. And something will happen with the prenup. I mean, I don't know. If I was rolling in $150 million and I was Jay-Z or something, I mean, I might look into that.
Yes.
But I mean, it just depends on your wealth. And honestly, it just goes back to me. I mean, I think it's just a moral and a character issue.
Well, if you were Jay-Z, your wife would be making more money than you.
Yeah, so right. Well, that's true. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Well, Garrett, you are the winner of KSU Top 100, so maybe prenup now is more on your radar. Who knows?
Well, who knows?
Were you dating her before you won KSU 100?
No, I would think more so for you, both you is how to going to deal with the stress of life because, you know, you're doing what you're doing with most people don't do. Most people go to work and get a paycheck. So you're setting yourself up for, hey, I'm going to live and work my butt off, and I'm going to do what other people don't do so I can do what other people can't do later in life.
Yeah.
So you are in a situation where I think you and your girlfriend and hopefully fiance or wife, whatever it is in the future, can set some goals together. And this is what would be cool. If you set goals together, where are you going to be in 2 years, 5 years, 7 years? Hopefully it's not the divorce where that prenup comes up. But you work together and understand that there is going to be some days where you want to take a golf club and, well, she'll probably beat you with it, but there's going to be days where it's going to be heck. And you just want to just know at the end of the day, you guys love each other. You're building a life together and maybe you're helping each other in the business. Now lock all your secrets in a vault so she can't get them. But, but just know that you're both doing the same thing. So life is stressful for each one of you. So at the end of the day, just understand that and ask, how can I help your business? How can she help you? And there's going to be a way that it's going to work.
Yeah.
Well, now we're at the section, guys, where we only have a few minutes left of the show. And Chris, great answers. I mean, my goodness, the time has just flown by. Is the Plead the Fifth, with Chris Hanks hosting.
Yeah.
Chris, I'll start and take it easy on him and ask work-life balance.
Oof. Yeah, that's tough.
What is your thought on that and how do you handle it?
It has been tough, actually. I have a two-year-old now, so that is... Woo! Good times.
Congratulations.
Good times. So the child, I think, rules the life and the business, but it is tough. Prior to that, I would make an effort to try to, you know, at least go work out and do something. Now I'm trying to not eat that because I'm not working out because, you know, your schedule gets hectic. And, you know, my wife takes the child to work or to daycare in the morning and I pick her up every day at 5. So I have that obligation where I have to bust stuff out and get done by 4 to get there by 5. And it is tough. I mean, you know, especially with the family, but it is definitely mandatory. And from what I've seen with other successful people, they take a time every day. They turn their phone off and do whatever they have to do, whether it's working out, meditating, reading a book. They just get away from life. And I've seen successful people do that. I've seen a lot of successful people also. They're up early. They're doing their meditations, reading books, you know, whatever, working out. And they're up early. And they're doing everything that while everyone else is sleeping and getting stuff done so they're not distracted. So when they're actually ready to present or actually, you know, do something to make your business grow, you're done with all the stuff that bogs you down all day and you can concentrate on that.
Excellent. Chris?
What could a customer find out about you that you would be embarrassed by?
Good Lord.
What's the questions?
I know.
They're right under there.
That I'm a cross dresser? No, joking. I don't know. You know, the day with Yelp and everything else and Facebook, everything's out there. But yeah, man.
I mean, does your business have a vulnerability?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's cyclical and, you know, somebody could destroy your life with social media at this time or, you know, you write something to I've had instances where a news channel got involved with a bank asset and I got fired from the bank. So, I mean, there's one thing that can happen. You can lose all your business with one bank or asset company overnight just based on someone posting something on Facebook, a blog, a Yelp, whatever, or the news media gets involved and all of a sudden they start posting your signs and the name of the bank and the next thing you know, you're out. You know?
Fair. Garrett, we're going to give you the final plead the fifth.
We haven't even gotten him to plead.
I know. this is why it's on to you right now.
Biggest pet peeves or frustrations that bother you about your employees?
Impressive, Garrett. Kudos.
Bringing the gloves.
Or I might say, what do you hate most about them?
Well, I mean, it's dealing, well, also too, not only just the people that work with me or have worked with me, but it's also other people in general. I think the world now, because we text and we blog and nobody reads. No. It's like, well, what do you want me to do? I'm like, that highlight part that I put in the email and then put bold and, you know, italics on it. That's what I wanted you to do, but you didn't read it. So biggest pet peeve is if you can find the information up front and read and find it, but you didn't, that will just eek me. And just when I get realtors calling me for lockbox codes, they're like, well, I'm not finding it. I'm like, well, it's that link that is in there that says click on this to get access code. Oh, I didn't see that. Okay, read.
Agreed.
It's brilliant. Yeah. Chris, those are great answers today.
Thank you.
My goodness. And it shows when we get to a very long show, like 40 minutes at this point, we realize our guests have a volume of quality information. If people that are listening to the show right now want to get in touch with you, how would they get in touch with you?
Sure. You can reach me by cell phone, 404-483-5625, 404-483-5625. Email address is Chris with a K, that's K-R-I-S, at AtlantaForeclosureAgent.com. AtlantaForeclosureAgent.com. And please, what I'm looking for too is I see the future in real estate changing, and I want to get with some young people to maybe take on something more of an application, because I do see that, you know, just as travel agents went away in the late 90s, early 2000s, sure. I don't want to slam my industry, but I do think the millennials and the Gen Xers are going to be more hands-on with the technology. Commissions may or may not go down a little bit, but I want to be ahead of that curve. So if KSU wants to get with me and try to figure out a way to attack that market, that's probably my next step of what I want to take on.
This is the perfect format.
Exactly. Do that. Yes, so, exactly.
Well, I want to thank you again for your time today. You can listen to this podcast in its entirety at shrimptankpodcast.com. Next week at Tuesday, 4 to 5, we have our guest, Ted Kollwitz. Who would think starting out selling copiers, you all of a sudden become the owner of the business and you now become one of the largest copier manufacturers in the Southeast. So Ted will be joining us next week, and tune in anytime on Tuesdays from 4 to 5 on Business Radio X, and jump on shrimptankpodcast.com.
Go Shrimpies.
Love it.
I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.